The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Hear God's holy word as it is recorded for this morning in the Gospel of St. Mark, in the 8th chapter. And they, Jesus and his disciples, came to Bethsaida. And some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. When he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home saying, "Do not even enter the village." Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who came into this world for us and our salvation. Now we ask you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that he will lead and guide us in all truth. Your word is the truth. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, perhaps you recall that in these holy days, I posted an article of some university in America where they said it is very helpful for students to know where are things going in the class. They are better equipped to learn if they know of the goals, where the teacher wants them to be at the end of the quarter, or the semester, or even their studies. I think it is a very good thing if students also realize that the same idea is behind our devotions. If you read Luther's explanation to the Large Catechism, you will see how he says that it is impossible that people come to church year for year and they don't really move from one to another, that they just remain where they are and that they are not really improved, bettered and sanctified. That means, he says, it's like cows just going to the water and the feeding lot and they return and they come back, but there's no real improvement whatsoever. That is why I thought it might be a good idea if I actually tell you also what is behind every sermon which I preach. There's a very easy model. I did not think it up myself. It comes from a Professor Aho. Years ago, Daniel Schmidt, when he did a homiletics seminar here, used the same steps. It is the model which even today is used very widely in the Missouri Synod. It has got three steps, very easy. Not one, two, three, but goal, melody, means. The goal is, where does God want us to be with this word of his? Secondly, what on our side hinders this, the melody? You could say, what is the sin which prevents us from achieving God's goal? And then finally, and that is the gospel, the means of which God gives to us in his word and in his sacrament to actually attain the goal which he achieved and therefore also overcome the malady, the sin which hinders us and prevents us from getting there. Now, the watchword of every week is mostly the theme of the week, but you could also use it as the goal. Yesterday's watchword was, "Hear me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Jeremiah 17. Now, healing and salvation is the theme and topic of this week. We heard
how Jesus healed the paralytic yesterday. Healing and salvation goes together in that story because Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they say, who is this man that he actually says he is forgiving sins, because only God can forgive sins. And now, my dear friends, that leads us to the greater goal of the Gospel of St. Mark. Who is this man, says the man, that he says such things? The Gospel of St. Mark is written so that you would realize that Jesus Christ came into this world for us and for our salvation. That in the end you too will confess, as that captain of the guard said under the cross, this man was truly the Son of God. From the beginning of the gospel to the end, that is the goal. That we realize the one hanging on the cross is the one sent by God for us and for our salvation. That is the goal. In the gospel yesterday, we heard that there was a man who was a paralytic. He could not come to Jesus. He was tied to his bed. He couldn't come to Jesus also because the house was full. There were just too many in his way. Here today, we read of somebody who was blind. He could not see clearly. He could not recognize Jesus. He could not see the Son of God. And that is the goal. He was not healed. He was not saved. Very clear for everyone around there. Of course, Jesus tells us, and like he told those Pharisees, be careful that even you with seeing eyes can't see. Because they thought it was only the blind man who could not see, but meantime they were blind because they did not recognize him for whom he was. Who is he that he forgives sins? That's reserved for God. Now, in the Old Testament reading yesterday, we had these wonderful words describing who our God is. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That is our God. And see, Jesus is this God. Luther asks in the hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. He says there, and if there were 1,000 devils who were standing in the way, we've got the one who can overcome them. Do you ask who he is? It is Jesus Christ, the Lord Zebaoth. That means Jesus Christ is the God already proclaimed in the Old Testament. He is the one who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Forgiving this man, all that kept him from God, from the family of saints, of the one holy Christian church. Your sins are forgiven, he says to him. That's how he overcomes the malady of this man. Now, we are not Methodists. There is not just one way to get to Jesus. He leads everyone in a very specific way. Mabengu different to Little Shalom. It's just how he works. The one comes through the roof, and the other one is led to Jesus by these people. Please touch him. What does Jesus do? He actually spits on his eyes. Strange way of healing. But who of us would argue that the ways of God are best? He knows how to heal and how to come over our malady. Now we could go into the whole many stories of the Old Testament where he uses many different ways to heal. The one prophet lies on the dead guy and then breathes in him and he comes awake. The other one, Naaman, goes and baths in the Jordan River, etc., etc. It's all part of the big picture of how God uses different means and manners and ways to overcome our malady, our sinfulness, our separation from God. It's about healing and about saving. And although this is a stiff-necked people, God says about Israel, and we're not much different, we have the same kind of DNA, he forgives wickedness and sin. And he takes us as his inheritance. He did so long ago already in baptism, where he washed us off, not with his spit, but with his water and the word of God. It's the means and ways he used to make us his own. I'm making a covenant with you, a new testament. Before all people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. And see, that's the promise in the Old Testament. And when Jesus comes, he heals the paralytic, he heals the blind man, and the people, they say, we have never seen anything like it. They were astonished. They were amazed. Jesus is the fulfillment of the old promises, and he shows and reveals himself as the God who does exactly this, who heals and saves, so that we too might believe when we hear of his miracles and wonders that he is the true Son of God for us and for our salvation. Now, my dear friends, many of us are easily stuck with the issues of we are not lame, we are not blind, so we are okay, we've got no problem. Well, the epistle yesterday shows that it is not so easy. Because there he says, look, you must overcome the old man. And you must put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the whole Old Testament was really the way out of slavery, Egypt, into the promised land, through the desert. Now, we could also describe that in a different way. We could say it is from the old self to the new man. The baptism is nothing else than a new creation. So now, leave the old and live as the new. And suddenly we realize our handicap, our malady, and how we are stuck in our old ways. You know what they are. It's not necessarily just blindness and lameness or paralysis, but rather these things which were mentioned yesterday in the epistle, corrupted by deceitful desires, falsehood, unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Now, all that is to be left behind, and we should live as new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's your destination. That's who you are since your baptism. Live like it, Jesus says. And that brings us to the malady. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Just touch me and grant me healing and salvation. Lord, heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. And that is why we come to the Lord again and again. He, the beginner, the author and perfecter of our faith. He, the one who does not send us away unhealed and unsaved, but rather who says, my son, your sins are forgiven. My daughter, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Thus he heals, thus he saves, and thus he shows that he fulfills the promises of old, and that in Jesus all the promises made to the fathers are yes and are amen, because he is faithful and he does these great miracles and wonders to us. The goal, that we be healed and that we be saved. The malady, the sin, our iniquity, our filth, our old self. And the means, Jesus' mighty word of action. His water, his body and blood, his means which he gives to us so that we be what he has deemed us to be, created us to be, saved us to be, his people now and forever. He is our God, and we are his people. Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.